number 5 tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 5. I have a really good joke, actually. I found one this afternoon. I'm very proud of it. So I was in the kitchen, and my wife looks at me and goes, Have you seen the dog's bowl? And I was like, no, I didn't know the dog could do that. Wow. I messed it up, but that's okay. All right, 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8. It's a very well-known verse. At least it should be a very well-known verse. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Who has that verse memorized? I think almost everybody has that verse memorized. It's a very common verse. One that we should have memorized because it's a very true verse. So we'll pray and then we'll get into the message tonight. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the lessons that we can get from it. Just please help me now tonight. Just please calm my nerves. Just please give me the words to say. Just please pray for the listener. Just pray that it would just help them out, Lord. And I pray that we just have a good night of fellowship, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so be sober. What does the word sober usually mean whenever you're talking about today? Whenever, not drunk, the opposite of drunk, okay? So whenever somebody's sober, you're like, oh, that person's not drunk. Okay, but being sober doesn't mean to not be drunk in this verse. It's referring to self-control and a spirit of taking things seriously. Okay, so whenever the verse says be sober, right then and there, you're like, oh, I need to take what he says next very seriously. Okay, and then it says, be vigilant. What does that mean? Who knows what be vigilant means? Be watchful, right? Keep careful watch for possible danger or difficulties. I use the dictionary for that one. So, the first two things that you read in this verse is to what? To take things seriously and then to be watchful. Okay, and then it says the rest of the verse, which is, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, the Bible tells us that the devil is our adversary. Okay, is anybody else our adversary? Should anyone else be our adversary? A lot of times, other people are our adversary, but should our adversaries be men? No, our adversary shouldn't be men. Who should our adversary be? Satan, the devil, right? He is the only foe we should be fighting. When we get to a point that we have made enemies out of men, it is because we have forgotten who we are fighting. Now, also, the Bible likens the devil to what? It says right there in verse. A roaring lion. Now, if I was pastor, I'd have you three get up and roar. Say, thank you, Jesus. But I won't. Okay? He refers to the devil as a roaring lion. Now, do lions attack the strongest animal? Do they attack the biggest and strongest animal in the pack? False. Black bear. Okay, no. They attack what? They attack the weakest. Okay, usually whenever it's by itself, okay, whenever it can separate it from its pack, usually one that's sick or an older one, okay, it never attacks the strongest animal, okay, because it has a chance of getting hurt. Okay, they take their prey by surprise, which is one of the reasons why they are some of the best hunters. When we as Christians are sick in our spirit, feeling alone and depressed, weakened from a heartbreak or tragedy, that is when the devil will attack. Okay, if a lion can separate its animal from his pack, that is when the prey is most vulnerable. The devil will do everything in his power to separate us. This is kind of what I want to talk about tonight, is how if we as a church is separated, and we as a church are not unified together, that's when the devil is going to attack us. That's the prime time for the devil to come in and to ruin our church. Now, I have personally never been in a church split before. I know probably some of you have been in a church split or heard of a church split. Okay, but what do you think was happening in that church at the time of that church split? Do you think they were super unified and like, oh man, we're having such a good time serving Jesus? No. Usually, it's because somebody over here is at odds with somebody over here. Okay, yeah, you two right there. Usually family, okay? But no, it's because they're not unified. Because they forgot who the true adversary was, which is the devil. Okay, there is safety when we stay in the middle of the pack. The devil cannot single out one weak person when they are safe in the protection of their church family. If we separate ourselves from those around us, we are only opening ourselves up for an attack from the devil. I don't think we understand how much we need each other. Okay, I don't think we realize how important a church family is. We should treat our church family how we treat our real family, because technically it's the same thing. Okay, there should be no difference between our real family and our church family. Now, our church family is very close. Okay, well, I should say my family is really close, okay? So we hang out all the time and we do stuff together, but we should do that as a church as well. There shouldn't be difference there, okay? And I feel like what happened a month ago with Garrett, I feel like we should be so close together as a church after that accident, after that incident, that we should be at the top of our unity right now. Okay, and what I don't want to happen is for us to be separated over that. That would just be even more loss for him to take somebody that we love so much and that we cherish so much, and then also to have our church fall apart. So I'm not pointing any fingers or anything, but I don't want this to happen to where the devil wins again. I know Pastor preached a message on it. You know, we don't want the devil to win again. But I just want to caution everybody that if we're not careful, then things can get even worse than what they were. Okay, so I feel like instead of us... where am I at? I'm reading wrong. The devil wants to render us useless to the Lord. Galatians 5, 14 through 17. Did I read that today? I think maybe I did. Galatians 5, 14 through 17 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." So that's saying there that if you are constantly fighting with each other and you're constantly arguing with each other, and that says, what's it say? It says, but if you bite and devour one another, kind of like what a lion does, okay? If you do that, then it says down in that next verse that you cannot do the things that you would. That's saying that you're pretty much rendered useless. Okay, you can't do the things that God would want you to do if you're fighting with somebody. If you come to church and you can't listen to the message at all, okay, you're worried about somebody else in the service. You're thinking about what they're thinking about, you know, and what you should say to them after church. Well, you know, you're not gonna be able to do what God wants you to do. Okay. The devil has one thing on his mind, and that is to leave us so spiritually decimated that we can no longer be used for God. Okay, we need to start realizing that the devil lies. Okay, we need to deal with those lies right up front. Okay, whenever we allow these thoughts to fester in our mind, we begin to separate from those around us. Okay, now what I'm saying is, a lie as in like, I'm trying to think of a good way to use this. You know, I heard gossiping, okay, I heard somebody came and said this about you. Well then, what are you thinking? Okay, now do you know that's a true statement? Do you know if that person actually said that? No, that's the devil lying to you. And he's trying to get you so upset that you can't even focus on what you should be doing. Okay, when we hear and see these things, we must first acknowledge it is an attack from the devil and deal with it accordingly. Now, this is something that I find very, very difficult for me. Who likes confrontation? Nobody likes confrontation, okay? But whenever something comes up and it's kind of a big deal, should we leave that alone and not touch it? No. Okay, should we... We shouldn't leave it alone, no, but there's a good and a bad way to go about it. Okay? Should we go up to that person and be like, you know, I can't believe you do this, how dare you do this? You know, you're the biggest jerk I've ever seen in my life. Is that the way you should go about it? You know, no, I don't think God wants us to do that. I don't think we should leave it alone, and I don't think we should do it that way. But we need to go up to the person. We need to be like, hey, you know, did you say this about me? You know, I heard that you said this, and I want to know if it's true. Now, that's different from, hey, you jerk, you said this about me, how dare you? Then what is that person going to do? He's going to either argue right back with you or just shut you off. And what's going to be done then? Nothing's going to be done then. Okay? Our spirit should always be one of love and a desire for truth and reconciliation. That is actually another thing. Whenever we go and talk to somebody about something we've heard, we should always have reconciliation on the mind. If we go there trying to prove them wrong, okay, and we go there trying to embarrass them, is it going to turn out well again? No, because you're just literally trying to make them look like a dummy. You have to go there and you have to talk with them, and you have to know that you love them, you have to love them, show that you love them, and you have to want to reconcile. There you go. So much desolation and turmoil could be avoided if we were open about these attacks and learned to lean on and trust in our brothers in Christ. Okay, just think about all the stuff that we could get help for, you know, if we just went to somebody and talked to them about it. Because I know some things have happened in the past, and it just sits in my brain, and I just think about it all day, all day, all day. And it just makes me so distressed that it wrecks me. And then I come to church, and, oh, I have to go to church now. Okay, that person is going to be at church. Do I want to go to church now? You know, no, and that, it's not right, but it's what happens. If we just went and talked and learned to trust one another, I think we'd be so much better off. The devil is a master at the half-truths. Okay, that's very true. And this is why so many people believe them. The Bible calls him the master deceiver for a reason. Just because part of something may be true doesn't mean that's how it was said. Okay, who? This is kind of a weird thing, but text. Who likes to text? Okay, can you read text wrong? Yes, okay. Me and Joel had this problem while we were recording. You know, she'd be like, I'm trying to think of a way to say this. She's like, how's your day going? I'd put, fine. That's how I meant it, fine. But you all read it as, fine. And she's like, are you okay? I was like, I'm good. She read it as, I'm good. You know. And then we get into this long discussion. I was like, why does she keep asking me these questions? And she's like, you sound upset. I was like, sound upset? I'm texting. So after we had, not a fight, I don't want to say a fight, but a disagreement, okay, I started using emojis for everything that I said. So whenever I say I'm fine, I'd use the big old smiley face emoji. So that way she knows I'm actually fine. But anyways, I don't know why I said that. One of the devil's most successful means of division, and I think I said a little earlier, is gossip and murmurings. I feel like I talk about gossip every time I preach. The reason I talk about gossiping so much is because I think I'm the biggest gossip ever. Okay, I don't know why, but why do we gossip so much? You know, we laugh and we're like, oh, we're gossiping. The Bible has a lot to say about gossiping, about going behind people's backs. Okay, this is something that I personally struggle with. It is easy to talk about people behind their backs and make excuses for it. This is what Proverbs 20:19 says. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. A talebearer, and I looked this up in the dictionary, is a person who maliciously gossips or reveals secrets. A person who maliciously gossips or reveals secrets. The Bible says that we are not to meddle with these people. So that means, you know, not to listen to what they say. Okay, now, sometimes we say that we are seeking counsel. Who's used this excuse? You know, I'm seeking counsel on what to do. That's why I talk about the situation so much. It's like, well, if you're seeking counsel, you'd probably go to your pastor or, you know, somebody else, and you get it taken care of. But it's been going on for like 4 months now, and you still haven't taken care of it. Is that seeking counsel or is that gossiping? Gossiping, okay? It's driving me crazy. It's just like, what? Just take care of it already. But no, we just love talking about the situation so much. We love bringing it up. I don't know how, but you can bring it up in like every single conversation. If it's, you know, if you want to talk about it, be talking about the weather outside, and you'd be like, well, the other day, somebody's like, what? How do you put that in a conversation? But that's because that's what we want to do. We want to gossip. Okay, we think it's not that bad because it's just family or a best friend or even a spouse we were talking to. Okay, now this is where I mess up. Okay, whenever you're in bed and you're laying down next to your wife, okay, and you're all comfortable and you just start talking about stuff, right? You just start saying everything that's happened throughout the day, everything that everybody said, and you just confine in everything that happened. You know, I talked to her about literally everything. You know, but we make that as an excuse. It's like, well, it's just my wife I'm talking about. Well, it's still gossip, you know. Or it's my best friend that I'm talking to. It's okay. Yeah, it's still gossip. Okay. However, nothing good ever comes of gossiping and speaking ill of others. That's how the devil will get inside and he'll wreck a church. Just by gossiping. You know, that's how strong the devil is. Another one of devil's attacks is to get us distracted. Now again, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant. Okay, so right there, the Bible is warning us that if the devil can get us distracted, okay, then once we let our guard down, that's when the devil is going to attack. And if we are concerned with what others are saying and doing and how we've been hurt, then we aren't focusing on the right things. Okay, now I'm also bad with this. Bless you. I'm very bad with, if you've hurt my feelings, okay, I won't either talk to you or have anything to do with you for at least an hour. I don't know why I'm like that, but my wife and I, we don't fight a lot. I'm going to be honest with you. We don't hardly fight at all. But whenever she says something that I don't like, okay, I'll be like, I just need, you know, 20 minutes. Don't talk to me. You know, don't do anything. And then I'm totally, that's all I'm thinking about, okay, for those hour or whatever, hour and a half. Okay, and I'm distracted. Okay, and that happens on a bigger scale, of course. That happens at church. Okay, whenever somebody over here is worried about, like I said earlier, what somebody over here is worried about, and you're completely distracted to what's happening around you. Okay? And that's whenever the devil will come in and he'll be like, ah, this person is worried about what everybody else around him is thinking. So if I do this, then I can destroy him. That's why the Bible warns us to be sober and be vigilant. No matter what the devil sends our way, we should always come back to the Lord for help and discernment. Anything that distracts us from our Bible, prayer time, and service to the Lord is always the way the devil will attack. We are most vulnerable when we are not walking close to God. I don't know why I put that in as a little ender there, okay? But it's true. And I said that earlier this morning, is that whenever we're closest to God, okay, that's whenever the devil, you know, what can the devil do then? What's the Bible say? Stronger is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And who is in the world? The devil, okay? So whenever we're with that person who is in us, who is stronger than the other person, can the devil do anything about it? No, because God's stronger. Now, of course, once we let our guard down, then he'll come in. Okay, but we need to have a close walk with God. Now, sometimes, even when we are close to the pack, when we are unified, he can still make us feel defeated as if there is no way of winning. We cannot forget that every temptation and sorrow we face, God has already been there and made a way to escape. Okay. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Is that what I wanted to read there? I think it was. Yeah. So I have here that we're on the winning side. Okay, and we need to recognize that. Okay, whenever we get distracted, I guess, is where I was going with that. Okay, and we have temptations thrown at us, and we have trials. Another word for temptation is trials. Okay, we feel like we can't do anything about it. Okay, and that's whenever the devil will come in. But for some odd reason, like I was preaching this morning, this is kind of a refresher on this morning, we forget, we have that spirit of bondage, okay, to where, you know, we can't break this sin anymore, so we're useless to God, and the devil can use that. But the Bible says, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So God knows that you, whenever I'm going through stuff and I'm like, man, I just cannot do this, I'm like, God knows I can do this. You know, there is no other reason why God would give this to me. You know, he knows that I can get through this sin. And that actually helps me to be like, well, God believes in me. You know, if God believes in me, well, then I can do anything. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But we forget that God literally gives us the way out. God literally says that, well, I know this is hard, but I know you can take it. I know you can make it out. Christ calls for unity of spirit. Now, we are all not going to think the same or do the same or make the same decisions. Thank goodness. It is not up to us to try to change another church member into us, but rather to love them and be unified despite our differences. I'm glad there's not a church of just people like me. Okay, it'd be the funniest church ever. Don't get me wrong. Okay, we'd have a lot of fun, but absolutely nothing would get done ever because I'm a procrastinator. Okay, I always push things off to the very last moment, and I always have a heart attack whenever it's due. Okay, like preaching? Yeah, this is a learning experience for me. Okay, because preparing a message every single week is going to be hard because I procrastinate. So I'm glad there's not a church full of just people like me. Okay, I'm sure glad there's not a church of people just like my dad. That would be crazy as well. Okay? But God puts us in a church to be different. He gives us each a different personality, each different traits, each different characteristics, okay, for a reason. And I'm thankful for that. It says in Psalms 133, verse 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." We should learn to love and appreciate how God made us all differently. As much as I think we would like for us all to be the same, we know that it would end up being in a big mess. God gave us all different talents, abilities, and personalities. And it's our duty to learn about each other and to utilize each other's strengths and weaknesses. Okay, so like I was saying, God put us here for a reason. Now, I don't know everybody's strengths and weaknesses. Okay, that's my fault. We should know what each person is good at. I took a personality test at work the other day. It was like 150 questions of just, you know, if you're in a group of five, would you hang out with two of them or would you hang out with the other, you know, one of them? And it was just like, what? I don't know what these questions are meaning. But what they were getting at was they're trying to figure out my personality and they're trying to figure out, like, my traits, I guess. Mom, you took it too, right, Mom? Okay, so she knows a little bit about it. But I think we should just, we need that, but we need to do that just by talking with one another. You know, we need to be a family. We need to know what each other's strengths are. We need to know what each other's weaknesses are. Because if we don't know what each other's weaknesses are, how are we supposed to help them? You know, how am I supposed to help my dad through something if I don't know what he's struggling with? And I feel like we get to where we're so private, okay, that we just don't want anybody else to know what's happening in our private lives. And I think that's good for some things, but for other things, the Bible says that your church family is supposed to help you. You know, that's exactly what your church family is for you to go to them and ask for help in situations. I feel like we just kind of lost that. But Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful and courteous." Okay, that's Peter 3:8. We're supposed to be ye all of one mind. Does that ever happen very often? No, okay. Now, has there ever been, or is there a church right now that's completely unified? You know, they're all going the same way. They're all doing the same thing. Well, maybe, but it's called a cult, but I don't really know. They still have their differences. Okay, but why is that not true? Why is there not a church out there that's unified? Because we're made up of, what's the church made up of? Of sinners, right? Of people. Okay, and I heard this one thing and it made me laugh. They're like, I don't want to go to church because of all the hypocrites or because of all the sinners. You guys probably heard this. It's like, well, that's like saying you don't want to go to the gym because of all the fat people. It's like, well, there's a reason they're at church. Okay, that's just an excuse for them to leave. But the devil's plan is to defeat the followers of Christ. If we have allowed the devil to divide us to where we have lost our desire to go to church or to fellowship with the brethren, then we are no longer, and we, where we have no longer trust in our fellowship with other Christians. The devil is winning. Now, I said this a little earlier, Who here, you don't have to raise your hand, okay, but who here has not wanted to come to church before? Okay? I know there's been times when I'm like, you know what? I could really stay home tonight. You know, I really just can't go tonight. Now, the main reason for that is because either I'm upset with somebody else in my church. It's usually not because of what pastor preached, you know. It's usually because whenever he preaches, you know, we're like, okay, I really need to work on that, and then we go home. Okay? It's usually whenever we're arguing or in a disagreement with another church member that we're like, I really don't want to go to church. And that is where the devil will divide us. And then I say again, there has never been a perfect church that is always in unity. But I'm glad that God... Well, hold on here. Because sinners... Oh, okay, that's where I was getting. Okay. Another reason that people don't want to come to church is because we're made up of sinners and we make bad decisions, right? Who here has never made a bad decision? Nobody. Everybody's made horrible, terrible decisions. Benjamin, have you ever made a bad decision? Yep. How old are you? 13. Adeline, have you ever made a bad decision? How old are you? 8. Okay. And I'm sure Adeline has made a bad decision before. For the preach. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes, Adeline has made a bad decision. Thank you, Adeline. Okay. But it's easy to say that I'm not going to have fellowship with that person because of a decision that they made. And I'm so thankful that God, with all the bad decisions I've made, has not thrown me away. I'm so thankful that God, when He was molding me, and I made a really bad decision, He didn't say, you know what, pump up the clay, throw it away. I'm so thankful that God gave me not only a second chance or a third chance, but like 500 chances. And I think we as Christians would be so much more unified if we just gave each other a second chance. And we just loved each other as Christ loved us. If God didn't forgive me for all the bad decisions I've made, I would not be here right now. And that's so true, isn't it? All the decisions we made lead us up to this very moment. Okay, but there are things that God could have been like, man, I really didn't like that. And He could have just, it's funny to think, but He could have just taken us off the earth right then and there. You know, and we would not be here right now. But I'm so thankful that God has given us a second chance. Learning to forgive our brothers is the key to unifying the church. And that's something that goes just kind of under the radar. We don't learn to forgive. Everybody says, well, how does it go? I've forgiven you, but I haven't forgotten. You know, until you learn to, you know, forget, you haven't really forgotten because you keep bringing it up in your mind. But I'm so glad that God, whenever He forgives and forgets. He never brings it up again. And I'm so thankful for that. But I just wish, and again, I'm not pointing any fingers here, but I'm just wanting to point that if our church isn't unified, then our church will fall apart. And I just wanted to preach this message. So that's all I have for you tonight. I'll ask you to stand to your feet if you will.